You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to another edition of MUA Fire Up 3CR. This is Aaron Moon, the national organiser, and we have Robbie Lumsden, who's been with us the last couple of weeks. And back today, we also have Dave Ball. Dave, how are you?
I'm really good, and of course, I'm fired up, as I usually am.
Cringe. we also have our wonderful producer, Annie. Annie, how are you?
I'm good. Good to see you. And Robbie, being back from a great holiday, Dave.
Yes, I have been back from a great holiday, and visiting Southeast Asia is always a wonderful place to go. And it was fantastic that my phone wouldn't work and I ran out of Wi-Fi and I lost touch with reality. Not that I didn't stop thinking about our members, though.
that was a nice save right there. Hey, Robbie, how are you, mate? Also back from leave?
Oh, I did have a week off, Aaron. I did have a week off. It was very nice to have a week off. There was a bit going on, so unfortunately, I had to do a bit of work as well, but that's okay.
And the other thing that was remiss of me to mention as we started the show is that Dave and I are currently doing this show from Gadigal Land up in Sydney. So we want to pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. So, Robbie, you're coming from Wurundjeri land, still down in Melbourne.
Exactly. And we'll pay our respects as well to the elders past, present and emerging.
Dave and I are up here in Gadigal country for our national council this week. But also earlier in the week, we had a pretty big day with a great demonstration of our union's international solidarity and the internationalism that kind of pumps through the veins, I guess, of every maritime worker, every single one of our members that interacts with our international seafarers on every ship that they work on. So, Dave, do you want to give us a bit of a rundown about what's been going on these couple of days?
Yeah, so it's a special national council this time around. We do have national council twice a year, but this is a really special one because it's coinciding with our 150th celebration, which is tonight in Sydney. We have around 50 MUA delegates from Victoria flying up for that special event. Of course, Casper will be up here pretty soon, so he must be about to get on a flight. But because it's such a special event, we've got internationalists from all over the world here in Sydney telling us their stories and their struggles and working out how we can work together to, you know, improve workers' rights. And some of the representatives we've got the JSA, which is the Japanese Seamen's Union. Yeah. We've got the
LWU from the States and from Canada. So the States and Hawaii.
And from the UK.
From the UK with the RMT, who have been all over the media recently with their maritime section that's came over specifically. But with all of our, particularly our younger members on TikTok, would have hopefully their algorithms of getting Mick Lynch and Eddie Dempsey in front of them, where they're talking about the rail strikes and why it's important for workers to stand up and fight the profiteers and the rail barons that are suppressing their wages and overcharging the British public.
And of course, our brothers and sisters from New Zealand are over here in force. They always support the MUA with our conferences, as we do support them. And it's great to have them over there. We've actually got someone from the Rail Tram, the RMT from New Zealand as well. So it's a great conference. I'm just wondering who else is here.
We've got some Singaporeans, people from the Philippines. We've got the ITF in as well. So we've got people from London and all around the country. And I know that the Philippine unions are here, but I think they're taking off either pretty quickly tomorrow morning or with myself this afternoon over to Manila, because we've got the Asia-Pacific Regional Conference over there later in the month. So it's pretty much back-to-back work, and it's just a little bit non-stop at the moment, actually.
And, you know, we often talk about our internationalism with seafarers, but it's really powerful and strong and right in your face with our dock workers, or wharfies, as we call them in Australia. When you think about the international nature of some of our biggest stevedores, in particular, you know, comes to mind is DP World. You know, DP World have, you know, operations in lots of different countries, and I'm pretty sure they don't treat their workers anywhere near as good as they do in Australia.
No, they don't treat them that well here either, do they? DP World, so.
No, that's right. But it's firsthand for our wharfies and our dockies. And you know, our relationships with the ITF and the IDC, is the International Dock Workers
Committee.
I don't think it's committee, but they, you know, we affiliate with those organisations so that when we need international support and they need international support, we all stick together in solidarity. And obviously, to go back to the most famous case was the Patrick's dispute in 98 when the ILWU refused to unload a vessel.
Columbus, Canada.
And, you know, that was almost the breaking point in that dispute. So,
And more recently, when we had the Cube dispute in Frio, when the ILWU again found some significant safety issues on the some of the Wilhelmsen vessels. So I think that they weren't going to unload them because of the stench of scabs.
And, you know, it goes deeper. You know, the international arena, it's where these big multinational companies, you know, that they source their power, they take advantage of other countries, and by building international solidarity, it gives the workers a real chance to fight back against that oppression.
And the Sydney branch have done a wonderful job with Hutchison, I think it was Hutchison's here, and then with our comrades in Indonesia and I think Pakistan as well, where there's another couple of large Hutchison's terminals. They established a regional safety committee that works quite well and were able to learn off each other and lift the safety standards. And I think there is an intention from the ITF to expand that out, which will involve Dubai Port, so DP World, and also ICTSI ports in the region as well, because there's a significant amount of investment from both of those companies into the Asia-Pacific region, and our branch will be able to participate in those and build on those relationships and that solidarity, and we'll be able to continue this great tradition.
And a lot of those big international companies operate in the offshore industry here in Australia. And while I've been away, Casper's been helping and assisting with the offshore EA negotiations. And there's around six companies the MUA are currently negotiating, led by the WA branch. But Casper, you've been sitting on a lot of those meetings. How are those negotiations going, mate?
Slowly, Dave, would be the best word. Slowly. There are a lot of claims, and it's fair to say the GAC in the West, George Gackis, does a great job in leading those negotiations. And but there's a summarisation, Dave, which probably you would be better off doing, as you are much more across it than I am. So, but I have sat in on those meetings, and Dave will give you members the update now. Where that sits.
I'll just give you a pretty brief summary, but OSM, who is a manning agent, they actually don't own vessels. They just provide the crew to vessels. So they're a crewing agency. They're very important. You know, they cover a lot of our work. They're refusing to come to the table. So the MUA has issued a majority support determination on that business. And we imagine that we'll be getting them to the table very soon. Golf is a company that works out of Bass Strait and other parts of Australia too, but right now has two vessels in Bass Strait, the Dolph Scandia and the Dolph Feinstein. And the Dolph Scandia is involved in the decommissioning that's commencing in Bass Strait. So they are progressing those discussions. So at the moment, we are still meeting with Dolph. Maersk Supply Shipping, those negotiations have broken down. So we have applied for a protective action ballot.
I can't believe we're in dispute with Maersk.
No, I would be in dispute with the Maersk. $22 billion, which I believe translates to over 50 billion Australian dollars in profit in the last financial year. I think they only have two vessels in Australia, but we can't get an agreement with them. So that ballot closes tomorrow. Obviously, we want all our members to vote yes on that one.
I think that one's at around about, George has got to 100% of the members there, so we expect 100% of the members to vote, and we expect that to be 100% vote in our favour as well for what the ballot says.
Mermaid Marine, there is some progress being made, although not on the big issues. They're probably just stalling, but there is some progress being made, and the next meeting is planned for the 24th of October. Tidewater, again, some discussions are taking place, so negotiations there are continuing.
And Solstad, Dave?
Oh, Solstad, where I passed that, did I? Solstad, they've collapsed. Discussions there have collapsed. A ballot opens on Monday the 17th of October and closes on the 7th of November. Solstad is an important operator for us, and we encourage all our members, of course, to vote yes to all those questions around that protecting declaration.
Yeah, so there's still a bit of work happening in the Bass Strait, hey, with the Dan of the Scandi working on the offshore wind, and or not the offshore wind, the decommissioning work.
With ESSO, who are proving, apparently the profit that ESSO have made,
$66 billion.
Over the last 7 years in Bass Strait. And now they're being asked to spend a bit of money to clean up their mess.
A bit of mess too. It's like 800 kilometres worth of pipes, dozens of platforms, hundreds of wells. There's a lot of stuff out there they need to clean up. But it all needs to be removed so that we can build offshore wind farms out there. And we've seen that they left, I don't know if it was ESSO, but a company left a whole heap of the mess out in the Gulf of Mexico, I think, about 10 years ago. And now that they're trying to build offshore wind, they're finding that they should have had those companies clean it up in the first instance, and then they'd be able to do it because it's becoming a bit of a mess and a bit of a struggle. So it's important that we maintain our very firm position that ESSO and BP now Woodside have to clean up the mess that they've left in the Bass Strait.
I noticed that you're in a recent webinar about this, and the MUA research has shown that the company that's involved have put out a glossy 8-pager to the public to imply that maybe it would be a good idea environmentally to leave some of the pipes still there and that sort of stuff. But it's a bit of a scam, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit of a...
For the fish end.
Yeah, they want to cut it off at 50 metres and drop it next to it and say that it's going to make a
fish sanctuary.
A reef. It's going to create an artificial reef out in the Bass Strait. So, I mean, it's just absolutely...
So what we do is the natural reefs, we want to kill them off. They want to get near them and kill them off. Then, but on the other hand, they're going to help us out. They're going to provide some reefs over here.
Now, they're such good blokes, eh?
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, and also true. the other thing that was interesting in that webinar was the fact that they say that the company is still responsible for the maintenance of the safety of the open hole.
Open walls, yeah.
Yeah, but there's no forcing them to monitor. There's no monitoring
There's no compulsion to monitor or regime to monitor it, but they're just responsible for it just in case something happens. But they can just let it happen if it does, and then who knows if it's leaking because no one's down there watching it. It's absolutely insane. It's a really odd way of regulating an industry or the cessation of an industry at very least. But
anyway, it's really to do with the offshore wind development, isn't it?
Yeah, because the proposed area is going to there's an overlap in the proposed offshore wind area that the federal government has just designated or is proposing to designate for the Gippsland area and where the offshore oil and gas industry currently is shutting down from. So there is a bit of an overlap there. So it is important that we get that sorted and get that right. And our members were able to put it in the 70s, so they're certainly able to pull it out now, and they can do it safely and they can do a good job of it.
And but they're not talking to you, are they? They're not talking to you, though.
No, not greatly, no.
However, the MUA is putting submissions into government to try and have input to the policies that they make around decommissioning. So hopefully we will still have an impact on it.
I was just going to say a bit of corporate leaners.
Yeah. The other exciting thing. Sorry, Tasman?
No, go on, Dave. I was going to say, while you're sitting on Bass Strait, while we've got a little bit of water between us and Tassie, how's the TT line one going?
The TT line agreement, the company are looking at our current proposal, which is basically a rollover the existing agreement with pay rises attached to it. And we've mentioned before on this show, I'm sure the reason for that is the move to Geelong and the unknown factor that that's going to bring into the workplace. And also two new vessels due next year, I think. So there's a lot of change happening at TT line, and we'd just like to get our heads around what that means for the workers before we agree to, you know, a 3 or 4 year agreement that might not cover off all the issues we need covered.
Yeah. And so I think we reported last time we'd met with the delegates, put it to the company. We're still awaiting a response from them. In the interim, there are some site-based issues that we are trying to tidy up, and we've booked in a works council for the middle of November to try and get through some of those issues that that are currently just outstanding for each of the departments. So there's a list as long as our arm, so we won't go through each individual item, but we'll be looking to work through those in the middle of November at the works council, and hopefully by then we have a response or an indication what the company wants to do and with regards to bargaining.
The clock's ticking closer to the move to Geelong. It's the 23rd of October that the first Spirit will come into Spirit Quay, which we now call Cryo Quay, Spirit Quay.
We call Cryo Quay Spirit Quay.
Something like that. And so I'd just like to quickly mention the shore-based staff here in Melbourne who chose to take redundancies instead of uprooting their family and moving to Geelong. And a couple of great delegates there, Rowena Wiley and Vicky Boyd, who just did a great job during this transition process. They're both retiring. They're at retirement age, but they're lucky enough to be going out with redundancy. So thank you to those people and good luck to all those members in whatever they choose to do in the future.
Yeah, no, it's great. They've done great work. And I remember that they were at the last delegates training and party and bit of knowledge onto some of our younger members, which was great, and some of our newer delegates. So it was great to have their input in our union.
And just to go going on again with the Bass Strait theme, we have successfully had approved this week at National Council a Bass Strait conference to be held early next year. And the reason why we want to have that conference is because Bass Strait is a critical stretch of water for our members in lots of different ways, and there's lots of businesses making a living out of Bass Strait where our members work.
Yeah, and a lot of the training from our seafarers nationally has came through the Bass Strait as well. So it is a great and very important part of our seafaring industry.
Of course,
so Dave, I heard that we couldn't get an agreement on where we're going to hold it, Tassie or Melbourne, so we're going to go to King Island. Is that right?
King Island, that's right, mate. We're just looking at wondering how we're going to get everyone there. But I think another highlight of the conference might be an AFL football match between Tassie and Vic. And I heard, Casper, you've put yourself down as a centerman or something.
Oh, no, mate. Coach. You just get to tell people what to do. If they don't do it, it doesn't matter. It's not my fault.
But I just want to mention on a serious note, Sea Road, Toll, TT Line, and all the wharfies and dockers who work on Bass Strait. You know, their jobs are dependent on those vessels continuing to work in that stretch of water. It's so important that all those members work together to make sure those businesses stay viable and they continue to have good union jobs. So it's going to be a great conference, and all those people will be represented. So it's something to really look forward to.
It is. It's probably the most important stretch of water in the country when it comes to our seafarers and our local, actually Australian crewed vessels.
Yeah, no, certainly it is. And it does. And like Dave said, it's not just the seafarers. It's the wharfies on either side of the strait in Devonport, Burnie, here in Melbourne, and also in Geelong now, that are critical to that. And it's part of the one of the ports minister's advisors the other day described it as a part of the national highway network, because it's linking Australia, the mainland, to Tassie, and it's not only critical for their food supply and for us as well to get our chocolate supply from the Cadbury the Cadbury factories, but it is just connecting big Australia to little Australia.
And I think we really need to talk about our celebration of the 150th here in Victoria. I think this is the last show before we have our big event, Saturday the 29th of October at SeaWorks in the Maritime Precinct.
There'll be one more show.
Oh, will there?
Sneak one in.
Of course, we've got the Painters and Dockers playing there, which is going to be fantastic. The Vincent Emmanuel Band. We've got magicians. We've got food. We've got fun for all the family, all MUA members.
And a bit of our history scattered through it.
So that's going to be a great day, and we hope all our members.
It'll be a great day. We've got food. We've got plenty of food trucks there to supply everyone food on the day. There's everything's there. Everything is there for everyone. Something for everyone from your 90s, if you're the Roger Wilson, Jim Beggs of the world, who do a great, still active unionist, all the way down to newborn kids. There'll be something there for everyone.
That place is really interesting too, because it's in Williamstown. And if you go out the back there, it gives you this completely different view of the city across the water. It's really, really interesting.
It is. And he will see you there on the day?
Yeah, I'll do my best. What time does it start?
12 p.m. to 6 p.m, Addy. So we look forward to seeing you there
just,
as well.
Great, just in case we haven't personally invited you, can you please consider this your personal invitation?
Thank you.
There's a fair bit else happening in the branch as well, and I think we're going to have our, the 17th of November, we're planning on having our first of our re-established Port Safety Committee and our Branch Safety Committee coming out of our mini conference that we had with our HSRs earlier in the year. So if your worksite hasn't got somebody nominated to be on that committee, please get in contact with myself or the branch and let us know that you're there. It's going to be a good opportunity for us to give all of our HSRs an update, and the committees, all the safety committees, an update on where we're at with the various tasks that were assigned coming out of that port safety conference, particularly around WorkSafe and how they approach our HSRs. We've been doing a fair bit of work there to try and get the inspectorate to have a better understanding of how the maritime industry works, and hopefully we'll be a little bit closer to some decent outcomes there for our HSRs to be better supported by the regulator. Along with that, we're just looking to standardise and get some best practice happening across the industry with all the issues that are common. So make sure you get in contact with the branch if you haven't already.
Fantastic.
Dave, before we go, Dave, we nearly got through a show without mentioning the word Switzer. We gave you the segue, talk about Maersk. You didn't take the bait, mate.
What's happening there?
I guess I don't want to say too much about it, except we all know Switzer are making billions and billions of profit out of the hard work of their workers. And we all know that eventually karma turns things around. And in this case, it won't be instant karma, but it will be karma. I hope you enjoy our song, Instant Karma, by John Lennon.
Thank you. Have a great day, members.
Thanks, cheers, members. Thank you, Annie.
This is karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right in the head. You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.